Behold, that mighty city broke it in the dust again. Mystery Babylon is run by the International Jew these days. Welcome, folks. This is Yahweh's Covenant People on February 3rd, 2017. And today we're going to be discussing how the ADL describes a Christian identity, part two. And my co-host this evening is Pastor Greg Howard. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm doing well, brother. Praise Yahweh. I'm glad to be with you tonight.
Yeah, and as you pointed out, they don't have you or me listed as identity stalwarts, right? They only have dead. They only have dead. What do you call it? Identity teachers listed here in this article. But we're this is archive.adl.org on Christian identity, or just if you want to follow along and go to a website, the listeners can just scroll or just type in Christian identity in your browser, and the first 500 or 600 listings will be by the ADL criticizing the Christian identity. Anyway, the first few, probably the first 10 or 20, before you get into positive reviews of Christian identity. And so we're going to pick it up. Today is part two of the ADL Lies About Identity. And Greg, if you can scroll down to the section entitled An Ugly Turn.
Okay.
This is about where we left off last time. And I'll just start reading and feel free to break in and comment as you please. Okay.
Well, brother, before you even start, we've all become acquainted in the last few weeks, months with the concept of fake news.
Right.
And this is really just another version of a false narrative. You know, the Jews trying to describe what they want everyone to believe about a particular subject. And now we understand how in the early 1900s, when television, you know, when radio was everything, and this new thing, television, I'm dating myself here, but TV began to become important. And the Jews saw that a new flow of information would be coming forth. And when there's information to be controlled, the Jews are all over it.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember just a few years ago, and it should have been one of the biggest news stories in the world. Guess who bought the Reuters news service, the biggest news service across the entire world, basically the news service that controls the Associated Press and controls the flow of information to 99.9% of all local news media and everything else. Guess who purchased that? And it was actually publicly reported. Do you remember this story?
Some Jew.
It was the Rothschilds.
Right.
The Rothschild family purchased Reuters news service. Mm-hmm. And I still remember, I'm thinking, why isn't this one of the greatest news stories? But, you know, of course, it died in an hour, and after that, it was back to Miley Cyrus shows her breasts and et cetera, et cetera, and all the nonsense and the filth that the Jews feed us daily. But the Rothschilds purchased the major news reporting service on the planet,
right?
And to this day, they still own it, and that's this day. And I hate politics, but I got to admit, I love watching Donald Trump twist the knife in the bellies of the Jewish news services. Mm-hmm. He must just sit back and laugh to himself, having figured out that he can bypass them by just putting out his own information. He doesn't need to do interviews. And believe me, I'm not a politic guy. I barely follow it. But I realize he has a little bit of enlightenment as to the Jewish control of news. And I believe we in Christian identity have much more enlightenment as to what's really going on. Because we understand the satanic seed line that has been planted on the earth since the garden, perhaps well before, but it really became manifested to us once Eve was impregnated, by the fallen angel and gave birth to the first true Jew, Cain. And we've been plagued ever since by this seed line that's on the earth, tormenting us. They hate us. They want to kill us. Their biggest wet dream is to destroy us. Mm-hmm. They hate us. They want to kill us all.
Amen.
And yet, all of a sudden, their rock is being lifted up and the light is being shown on them. I think they're in a bit of a panic mode right now.
Well, they're being attacked on many fronts, and it's hard for them. They're in damage control mode because there are so many alternative media outlets, primarily thanks to the internet.
Yeah, praise Yahweh for that.
That they've never had to deal with in the past. You know, I remember, I don't know if you ever got the Jubilee newspaper.
I do not remember that, no. Okay. I've heard of it. I don't remember that I ever got it.
Yeah, it was published in California. It was a monthly newspaper, kind of similar to the Spotlight, but it was Identity. And I think it lasted 7 or 8 years, and it was really outstanding information. Typically, many Identity articles, and, of course, a lot of articles exposing the Jews. But that was kind of like the top-notch Identity newspaper information source, for the 80s into the 90s. They didn't have the internet. Now we've got the internet, and we can reach thousands more people than that excellent publication was able to reach. Okay,
right.
Yahweh's made it available to us. So here we are, folks. We're telling the truth, and the fake news is put out there by the Jews, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and their ilk.
Yeah, and if we were completely honest, most of us would admit that apart from the internet, most of us would never have heard of Christian Identity, let alone be able to explore it and really have access to truly scholarly biblical studies that really broke down the truth. Brother, I would never have found, I can't imagine that I would ever have found Christian Identity apart from my online studies.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't go to a library and find this kind of information because the Jews would have made sure the libraries didn't have it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And now that you're just saying that, it never occurred to me that we could have used dollar bills with a, on the back side have a note, find Christian Identity meeting rally tonight. Right?
We could drive
through.
I mean,
that's about the only way we could get people together.
The internet had to happen.
It
was,
yeah,
in a way, the roadway of information where Yahweh reached out to his elect and gave us and called us, and we found the information. And once we were enlightened, then all of a sudden the spark was within us. You know, it sparked the fire, and the hunger was there, and we realized we've been lied to our entire lives.
That's right.
You know? One of the greatest revelations of my entire life. I had two great revelations in my life. One was that the white race is the continuation of the 12 tribes of Israel on the earth. What a revelation that was. It changed me forever. And revelation number two was that there was a satanic race on the planet. And these are the people today that we know as Jews. That changed my life as well, because I realized the entire Bible turned upside down for me overnight. I began to realize the white race is the dispersion across the planet of the white race as prophesied. And we will continue to regain our memory as to who we are, as Yahweh calls out his people. Mm-hmm. But I realize the enemy of us, and Genesis 3:15 lays it out so clearly, but there's a satanic race on the planet, the Jews. They mm-hmm. are the race yeah. of Satan's fallen angels. And what a difference that made once I saw that.
Yes.
To realize there's a group of I don't even, people is the wrong term. They're beings. They're satanic spawn.
Right.
They're not people.
Demons,
people,
yes.
The only persons I call people are white people. All the other races, we can discuss their identity. But the Jews are destined for damnation and fire, and there's no salvation for them. And any Jew that claims to be a Christian, or I'm a Jew for Jesus, or I'm a brother Nathaniel, that is all a gigantic Jewish scam.
Right.
By the way, I'm not a brother Nathaniel fan, although...
Yeah.
I got to admit, I'm a fan of some of his writings because he's this weird Jew that looks like he climbed out of the pit of hell.
Right.
And he actually speaks accurately about Jews, but he self-identifies as a quote-unquote Christian, which
mm-hmm.
I can prove to him from the Bible that's not even possible.
Right.
Genetically, he's disqualified from salvation. perhaps there's a part of hell for him that's not quite as hot as it might be for George Soros. I don't know. It's not up to me to make those decisions. Yeah. But I see nowhere in the Bible where that funky bearded Jew-looking hook-nosed creature who sits out on street corners and leaps up and down with a cross in his hand has any hope of eternal life.
Right.
I don't see it in the scripture for him.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. He doesn't. You know. Well, he's preaching multiculturalism anyway and Judeo-Christianity, which is an abomination, right? No doubt about
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, the more I learn about Christian identity, the more the Bible begins to gel for me, the more I realize it's not just a matter of faith, it's a matter of genetics, and it is what it is.
Yeah. By the way,
it's genetics.
Yeah, it sure is. I don't think I ever asked you this. You know, I've gone on the air many times. My experiences with Jews. My mother raised me to hate Jews. All right, because
you were raised well, brother.
Yeah, I was raised well, and you know, I never had asked you what was your attitude toward Jews before you discovered identity.
Well, I was just kind of ignorant of them. I always realized there's something different about them. And but I never could quite put my finger on it. And this will sound a little weird, but there were some cute Jewish girls. Jewish girls are like, sometimes when they're really young, they're a little cute.
Vipers with smooth skin.
Yeah. And I used to actually have a crush on a few Jewish girls in junior high and high school. For some reason, they're viperous, deceptive coverings.
Right.
We're cute. But when Jews get older, satanic influence manifests itself, and they all begin to look like Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Know,
they all look like a serpent with a giant hooked nose. And, you know, and now that I've seen a lot, I'm not even bragging that I see a lot, but I've seen something, and I realize this is a race of satanic beings, and it doesn't even matter what they look like. They could be beautiful. It doesn't matter because that is a satanic being. And when Eve was seduced by the serpent, who, by the way, did not appear to her in the form of a snake, as our stupid Judeo-Christian perverted Sunday school teachers taught us, it's very likely, and this was from our study of Jubilees and Enoch and the other books and Jasher, we realize the serpent likely appeared to Eve and took on the form of her husband Adam.
Right.
And she was, quote unquote, deceived, and she was beguiled, and she didn't know what was going on. And a satanic being led her down a lustful path and seduced her. And well, I don't want to get off on how women are naive and should never be out from under the understanding of men. But Eve was seduced by a satanic being that had millennia of experience.
Right.
And any woman, white woman, would have been seduced in that moment. And a satanic race was introduced on the earth as a satanic attack from the fallen angels to take over, because they realized Yahweh was going to plant his race, our race, on this earth. And these rebellious fallen angels who are going to burn in hellfire for all eternity, according to the Bible, not just my bigoted opinion. This is what Yahweh has said. Eve was polluted. Her womb was invaded. She gave birth to Cain. And Yahweh intervened and also, you know, gave birth to Abel and then Seth. And our race was planted on the earth.
Right.
And this is where we are in history. The entire history of the world, at least in our understanding of it, can be understood with the eyeglasses of the conflict between the race of Cain and the race of Abel and the race, you know, that Yahweh has planted. Any other interventions of other races are of minuscule importance.
That's right.
It's all the matter of the two seed lines, and the entire race of the planet for the last few thousand years will be broken down through the conflict between those two races. And we're seeing what looks to be the end times of that conflict. Who knows how long it will go on.
Yeah, we're just about there. We're just about there.
I like to think it's not far off, the final conflict. Who knows what will be the catalyst to really break it open. I find Trump an interesting chess yes. player on the board on a right. board of a chess. You know, I'm a chess player. I like to play chess.
Right.
I find Trump an interesting player.
Right.
I view Trump as now, I mean this in no disrespectful way, but anybody that plays chess will understand the power of a queen on the board.
Uh-huh. Right. Right.
The well, queen on the board is far more powerful mm-hmm. than the king.
That's right. That's right.
The queen can move in any direction unexpectedly.
Yeah. Couple of points. Number one, it's interesting that his name is Trump, right? We may just be at the last Trump. Okay. Whether he has
I didn't even think of that, brother.
No.
The last Trump. Oh,
right?
My gosh. You are the first person that said that. And it, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sent shivers up your...
I had never yeah. even considered
hair, raise your hair,
the
right?
last Trump. Oh, okay. My gosh. That's... Yeah. Wow. You might have something there.
Could be. And I just wanted to mention that the reason why... I have no doubt that the serpent could have pulled the wool over Adam's eyes too, but he would not have been able to get Adam pregnant, right? So the reason he targeted Eve was because she had a womb, and he could implant his viper seed in her womb, which he couldn't do with Adam, right? So the so-called weaker sex is the one that gives birth, right?
So, brother, we could do 20 shows on white women. I could go for hours and discuss white women. And all I can say is this. The strategy of our enemy has never changed.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They attacked the womb of our women in the Garden of Eden. They are attacking the wombs of our women today.
That's right.
And look how successful that strategy is.
That's right. It's very
How many
successful.
Times have you gone out in public and seen a white woman walking along, pushing a baby carriage with some orange-skinned, gnarly-haired, squalling niglet, you know, and she's got her buck in tow, and you look at her, and she's trying to pretend that she's happy,
right.
And you want to pull her off and go, you know, you threw your life away. You thousands of years prior to you, your ancestors fought to remain racially pure, and you were beguiled by a serpent race, mm-hmm. and you have given birth to a mongrel, and you have thrown away your genetics, and you realize things aren't right, but you just can't put your finger on it because you have been beguiled by a serpent race.
Yeah. Well, she did her politically correct duty, right? That's what she did. And
yeah.
The vast majority of these women who get in such relationships are either, you know, doing drugs, or they went to a college where they learned how to be politically correct.
Oh, brother, I'll tell you, I try to talk people out of going to college anymore.
Yeah, me too. Don't go.
I tell them, I say, you know, college will destroy your mind. College is designed now to destroy white minds, to introduce to them massive promiscuity, to just, you know, introduce them to lesbianism or homosexuality or drugs or race mixing. No good anymore in our current moment comes out of going to college.
That's right.
As much as we feel like we've won a little victory all of a sudden with, you know, Trump in the White House and the white race beginning to, the corpses, you know, quivering, you know, the enemy still is pretty much in control right now, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Colleges are designed to destroy white minds.
Amen.
It's unbelievable. You send a young, pure white person off to, you know, state university, even so-called Christian universities. They will come out 4 years of that. I tell you the truth. Their minds are pretty much going to be wiped out, and they will be destroyed. And if I could do my life over, none of my kids would have ever gone to public school or college. Hmm. I would have homeschooled them from A to Z. I would, you know, and I would have said, you know, screw college. I don't even care that you don't have a degree. We'll figure out how to live in this world.
Yeah.
I don't want Antichrist, Jew, and I'm going to subdue my language here. I don't want these people to be in charge of what you learn for the next 4 years.
Right.
Because Absolutely. Judaism and Jews and the satanic race of Cain has conquered the educational system in the white nations decades ago because they realized it was such a fertile hunting ground to destroy our people, they made sure to control it. You know, the vast majority of university presidents are Jews. The vast majority of tenured university professors are kikes that just will destroy your kids' minds. And they get off on it. It's their mission in life to destroy the minds of young white people. You know, and
Well, it's that song by Pink Floyd, "The Wall," right? The scene where the children fall into the meat grinder—that's the university, a Jew-controlled university. That's what you get, folks. They totally brainwashed and utterly they become anti-white, anti-Christian, anti-good, anti-just.
They'll go out and march and fight against their own race. You know, they'll stand up for mud-skinned immigrants that want to come over here and destroy us. They'll go out and sleep with them to prove they're not racist.
Right.
It's incredible the poison that the Jews, you know, they have thousands of years of practice of poisoning our minds. It's unbelievable. I marvel. And, you know, brother, I'm in my 60s. Believe me, I've lived through a lot. I realize, I look around at the world, and I just see the poison that is being fed to people. And I talk to people in their 20s and 30s, and I try to gauge, where are you? Where's your mind? How much truth am I able to introduce to you? I realize I can't sit down and just say, well, let me tell you about two seed line Christian identity. You know, I mean, that's so far beyond them. I mean, I'm lucky if I can even sit down with most young people today and say, you're dating a black guy? You know, young lady, you're 19 years old, and you've been dating Jay Vontarius here for a year. Let me ask you a question. How many times has he hit you?
Yeah, right.
Have you borne him a child yet? Has he threatened to kill you? You know, has he dragged you into a life of crime yet? How many drugs do you do with him? You know, forget about me discussing Christian identity with these people. They have, their minds are so destroyed by the Jewish filth that is being fed into their heads, especially if they're in college. Any young person that's in college, be assured, their minds are being systematically wiped out. It's incredible. I marvel
that is the case.
At the destruction that our people are being subjected to.
Yeah, save your money, parents. Save your money. Do not send your kids to college. It's a complete waste.
And it is.
In many cases, the Judeo-Christian college can be even worse than the public school, right? Because you learn false religion in addition to race mixing. But here, let's go.
Let me say one more thing. Then I want to let you go on for a while. I'm talking too much. I often think of where Yahshua Christ said in Matthew, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Mm-hmm. And I think about those verses a lot. And, you know, they say those verses at funerals, but Yahshua Christ did not say those verses in the context of a funeral.
No, he didn't.
And I often think, what was he saying? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And what is it that we are mourning? And then he went on to discuss the kingdom of Yahweh coming to the earth and how it would be then. And I believe he was really discussing the recognition of the fact that we have the kingdom of Satan currently on the earth. Blessed are those who, let me paraphrase what he was saying. Blessed are those who mourn the kingdom of Satan on the earth and the all-invasive attack upon our divine race on the earth. And we are seeing such a manifestation of that today, especially on our young people. Eli, let me say this, brother. I love you. And people your age, I think you got a couple years on me, but not a lot.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm in my 60s. I go into a place now. I'm like, hey, you give me that senior discount? I'm at I need a buck off, man.
Yeah, right.
I'm in my 60s. I need my buck off. But I'm at the point where I'm not saying I can't be influenced by the satanic race, but I recognize it.
You're on your
and
alert.
I think I'm a little past them getting into my brain too much.
Oh, for sure.
But, you know, people that are 17, 18, 19, 20s, 25, 30, their brains have been destroyed by the current world. and you sit down and talk with somebody that's 20, 21, 22, I mourn for them. And I believe that's what Yahshua Christ was discussing.
Oh, yeah.
Blessed are those who mourn the satanic invasion of my kingdom on the earth. They shall be comforted. And we are seeing the manifestation of a massive satanic attack against our race. And I mourn every day when I talk to young people. I talk to anybody. Brother, I run into white people. I engage them. I run into people of other races. I just walk away.
Right.
I don't even want to be around them. They freak me out.
Yeah.
I run into a Jew. You know what I do when I run into Jews? You know what I do? You know what my plan is? I find a way to mention the name of Yahweh. I go, you know, I'm a believer in Yahweh. Where do you go to church? I'm a Yahweh guy. Because when you say Yahweh to a Jew, you are sticking a knife into their guts.
Right.
And I tell you the truth, you do it and you watch them twist like you were putting hot iron to a snake. It just freaks them out. I love it.
Yeah.
It amuses me.
Yeah, they have the same reaction toward Jesus and Yahshua, you know, any reference to the real deities of the Bible, right? The Jews don't worship those deities. They hate those deities.
But there's something about the name Yahweh that sticks a knife into a Jew, and I believe it's like a little foretaste of eternal fire for them.
Right. Yes.
You know, it's like, have a little taste of what's coming up, Jew. I'm a believer in Yahweh. But sometimes they'll even play the fool. I go, do Jews believe in Yahweh? Just to amuse myself, I play the fool
with
them.
You're not supposed to say his name.
Oh, I know, exactly.
Right?
I know, they like G-D, but I go, you know, I'm a believer in Yahweh. Do Jews believe in Yahweh? And I invariably...
And they don't know how to answer.
It's like I poured a couple of hot coals down their underwear, and they start leaping around.
Yeah, they actually don't know how to answer because they're actually forbidden from pronouncing his name. So, you know, what do they say? Well, yeah, but they don't even know what the word Yahweh means. Okay, I am.
They don't.
They have no idea.
They're a satanic race, brother. Yeah. They're the race that has been fooling our race for generations. And now all of a sudden, Yahweh mercifully is waking up our people.
Amen.
And
slowly but surely
realizing we are going to bring this age to an end, I believe. I believe the true believers, the true pastors of Christian identity, we are going to bring this age to its end.
Right.
We're going to bring it to an end. We are not going to allow this to continue.
I expect to be here, and I expect to be involved in it.
Praise Yahweh. Yes. Absolutely.
Amen.
I demand to be involved in the igniting of the bundles that the angels will grab all the satanic beings.
Those tear torches.
The tares that look like wheat, and they will be bound and bundled. And I believe that the angels will do the work of gathering them.
Right.
But Yahweh will grant us the privilege of lighting the bundles.
Yeah.
I think that scripturally, between Obadiah and the other books of Enoch and Matthew 13, I believe it gives us the privilege of lighting the fires to burn them. The angels will do the heavy lifting and gather them up.
Right.
But we get to light the fire.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The wicker man, right?
I like what Brother Herbert says here in the chat room. The fire is already kindled.
Yes.
Let's fan it. I like Amen. That. I agree with that totally. The little flames are beginning to, and that's why the Jews are kind of panicking right now.
Yeah.
They can feel the heat. Feel the heat.
Yeah, they can feel when they're losing control, but they won't admit that they are until it's too late, right? So it's going to be very interesting. I think 2017 is going to be a very interesting year. I think the
Pastor,
tables.
Pastor Steve says he's stocking up on BIC lighters. Yeah, me too, man.
Uh-huh.
We're going to fire those Jews right up.
They're
going to burn.
Yeah. Well, as you're speaking, I'm seeing a bunch of tares filling in the Eiffel Tower, right? and then we light it from the bottom and watch it burn, right?
What an age we live in, Eli.
Yeah. What a magnificent sight that would be.
Well, back when I was in college and I was finding Christianity, and I didn't really know what was going on. But, I, you know, hey, let's face it, this is a journey and a destination, but it's a journey. And I was in this Bible study, and, you know, somebody asked this question, if you could pick any time in history when you'd like to live, when would you live? And I was like the little spiritual boy, I wore a cross on my neck. And I'm like, I'd like to live back in the time of Jesus with the disciples so I could hang out with Jesus. But, you know, I'm going to revise that. I want to be alive right now. I would rather be alive right now than back in the time of hanging out with Yahshua Christ himself. One, because I'm going to spend eternity with him. So I'm going to get to know him plenty.
Yeah.
But I want to be alive right now because we are alive in the most fascinating time, I believe, in all of history. We may probably, and I'm going to call my shot. I think we're going to see it.
Yeah,
I think we're
going
to see the end of this age. And as we have seen in the book of Enoch and the other books we went through, we will see the transition into the coming eternal age where the kingdom of Yahshua Christ and the New Jerusalem comes to this earth. And we will see that age. And perhaps if we are fortunate, we will never taste of death.
That's
and we
right.
saw that in the book of Enoch, that there will be that group that will never taste of death.
Yeah.
That will
Paul
transition
says so too.
From
yes.
this life, from this age, into the next age, and we will never experience death. Some of us will experience for various reasons, but we saw that there would be that group of overcomers who would never taste of death,
mm-hmm.
who would transition from this age to the next age and live for eternally,
yeah,
eternal life
and
as overcomers.
That will be the age of Jacob.
Exactly.
As
we saw that in
Ezra.
We saw that
Second
in Ezra. Where Ezra,
right.
Ezra talked about the transition from the age of Esau into the age of Jacob.
Yes.
And it, the sign of it was Esau being born first, but we saw as Ezra pointed out,
right.
We saw Jacob's hand on Esau's heel. As Esau was born, and that would be the quickness of the transition from one age to the next.
Right.
And it was a sign from Yahweh, the hand on the heel, that this age is the age of Esau, the age of the Jewish seed line, but the coming age would be the age of
Jacob
our people,
That's
our
right.
race, the age of Jacob in the coming age, and it
right.
would come quickly. It would be a rapid transition. And there will be the group of overcomers that may never taste of death. And I believe many of us are in that group. I hope it is.
Oh, yes. No doubt.
It's a belief. I can't prove it. But you look around, you know, you have some understanding. We got to be close to the end of this age.
Well, brother,
you can see it coming.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any biblical prophecy, and I'm counting the Apocrypha as biblical.
Amen, it is.
That hadn't come true.
We've proven it. It is.
They've all come true, except for the ones at the very end of the age that have yet to be fulfilled. So I have absolute confidence in the scriptures that these tares will be burnt and Jacob, Israel, will finally reign with Yahshua, Messiah, and there will be no more Edomites left. It will, you know, the age of Esau will be over and the existence of Esau will be over.
Well, how about all these Jews that claim to be Jews for Jesus? What about them? What do you think?
Well, it's a facade. Yeah, it's
is there a
joke. A
bigger scam than any Jew
scam.
That claims to be a Christian?
Yeah, it's like vipers for chickens, right? Vipers for chickens, right? You know that the snake's going to kill that chicken, right? As long as there are snakes, they're going to eat chickens, right? There's
Brother, no deep down, I view myself as a... And I say this with humility. I view myself as a theologian, you know, a studier of Yahweh's word.
Mm-hmm.
And I can prove absolutely positively that Jews cannot become a... And is there a more misunderstood word on the planet than the term Christian?
Right, yeah.
Is there a more misused word than the term Christian? I marvel at how that term is thrown around.
Yeah, just like the word Jew. Right?
When I was a kid, remember that Negro Sammy Davis Jr.?
Right.
Supposedly he was a Jew. And I'm like, I used to think.
33rd degree Mason.
I used to think, you're a Negro. How are you a Jew? Even as a kid, I had that
thought. Israelite? Right.
And now I realize only true Christians are white, the true 100% Caucasian people that express faith in Yahshua Christ and have been called and chosen. That is a Christian.
Yes.
Everybody else is just kidding themselves.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, here, let's get into this ADL document. And I just wanted to get mainly in, because they do mention William J. Cameron here, who is really a pretty much unknown figure of Christian identity. He's actually one of the major players as Henry Ford's editor at the Dearborn Independent. So under an ugly turn.
Yep, once, I got it.
Yeah, once on American shores, British Israelism began to advance. Originally, believers viewed contemporary Jews as descendants of those ancient Israelites who had never been lost. They might be seen critically, but given their significant role in the British Israel genealogical scheme, not usually with animosity. In other words, the British Israelites didn't have antipathy toward the Jews. And I think the reason for that, Brother Greg, is the fact that the Britain had two world wars with Germany, and felt allied with the Jews because of those two. And there's no doubt about that the Rothschilds manipulated Britain into attacking Germany twice.
Okay? Well, completely. And how riddled was Britain and the whole English culture with Jewry at that point.
Amen. Totally.
So, even then, they were controlling information. You know, they are the ultimate infiltrators.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, I mean, is there any doubt that what we term as Christian identity is no doubt infiltrated by traitors,
extent,
by Jews?
To an extent, very small extent, but yes.
Yeah.
I felt the sting. Right?
Brother, you have been more maligned than anybody I know. And, you know, I just got to tell a quick story.
Okay.
When I came across Christian Identity and I was exploring it, I came across your website and I sent an email to you. Hey, I'm a Baptist preacher. I found Christian Identity, trying to figure it out. I sent an email to you. Brother, I think you called me an hour or two later.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I got a phone call from you, and
I love my brother.
I've been connected to you ever since. You know,
and thanks to the internet again. If it weren't for the internet, you know, we may not be talking today. So
exactly,
right, yeah. And
my point is this. People have spoken much against you, accused you of being some kind of Jewish infiltrator. I will testify that is not the case. How many times have I come and visited you in Chicago? Twice at least, right?
Yeah, right.
Your crazy dog still attacks me when I come down.
Right.
Still got Toby.
He doesn't like New Yorkers.
I don't blame him.
I will testify that you
are the real deal. You are a true white brother, a true Israelite, and I'll always love you.
Well, it's likewise, brother. Anybody listening, Pastor Greg Howard and I have the brotherly love, the agape, that is preached about in the New Testament. And all of us should have that. An appreciation for each other's knowledge and wisdom and understanding. You called yourself a theologian. I consider myself a theologian as well. Okay, but I've actually done just as much historical research as theological research. You know, so I like to combine the two because that's how you understand prophecy, right? And so when I was writing my book, The Great Impersonation, I realized how much prophecy had actually come true in the Bible, and I was just floored. I was amazed. I said, "Wow, what a book! There's no other book like this Bible." But you can only understand it from the identity point of view. It doesn't make sense in any other way. Simply does not.
I came to the conclusion, once you understand the players, the white race are the Israelites, the Jews are the satanic seed line. Once you know who the players are, the whole Bible is a different book.
Yeah, it's totally.
You
it
realize, you begin to realize, you know, did Jesus Christ come to die and die on the cross and resurrect to save every little two-legged creature on the planet? Not a single chance in a billion.
Yeah, well, I forget who put it this way. Why would the Jews kill the Messiah so that non-Jews could be saved? Right? What kind of sense does that make? Right?
Yeah, exactly, brother.
Right?
You know, I was going to say, by the way, the other day, it's a couple weeks ago, I still remember Pastor Steve saying when he got out of prison, you were there to pick him up. That was amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had to actually go to Arkansas. Right. I was just barely inside the border from Tennessee, but yeah, Arkansas. We got out of Arkansas as fast as we could.
I was extremely touched by that. You know?
Oh.
I remember the first time I came to visit you in Chicago. You took me on like a 2 or 3 hour tour, just showing me, drove me through Chicago. We were just getting to know each other. I was like, Eli James, you know, who is this guy? I'm here. I'm visiting. He was gracious enough to invite me for a couple days. And brother, we bonded. But I remember when Pastor Steve said when he got out of jail, you were there to pick him up.
Oh, well, because I love my brethren, you know, and Pastor Steve also, with his knowledge, needed to have an outlet for that knowledge, right? And fortunately, by that time, your folk radio was already in existence.
Amen.
Yeah, right. So we march onward. We march onward. We don't look back. Right?
Amen, brother.
This is what we're here for.
I guess
for.
I'm trying to say this. I love you, brother. And we just live in such a fascinating time.
Oh.
What a time for our people.
Yeah, oh, man.
And you know what's crazy? You know, I don't know how many people are listening to this show. You know, you see these giant church meetings on Sunday TV where, you know, guys like, you know, these various pastors pack out 15, 20,000 people in an auditorium. There might be only 20, 30, 40 of us listening, but this is how it works with Yahweh. Yahweh's not calling 40, 50,000 at a time in an auditorium. He's calling a few here and a few there. And I just realize, you know, Yahweh is so faithful to his elect, and he will find his elect. He will find a way to reach them. You know, I never spent any time in prison, and Yahweh knows I probably had a few days coming to me, but for whatever reason, it didn't happen for me. I don't even have any tattoos on me.
Yeah.
I'm scared. Well, I'm scared of needles. I don't have a ring
in my nose either.
Yeah.
Or in my ear. Right?
But I, you know, and I was actually dumb enough to think that I was called to be a Baptist minister and went through Bible college. And, you know, we've gone through this before. I have a 4-year Bible degree, and I was a Baptist preacher. And somehow, in the midst of my, you know, stupidity, you know,
yeah,
I saw the truth.
Right. Well, I'll never forget because I took you on a tour of the Jewish neighborhoods in the city, right?
I still remember the little vipers with the little long hair.
Right, and the little viper yeshiva,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the Jewish cemetery on the south side, you could see all the Jewish names, right? And, but the most amazing stuff is where the little Jewish vipers go to school, right? And the Jewish...
You know, they're almost... I was going to say
they're almost cute.
Almost right? Cute. But, you know, the more you see them, you're like...
But those locks, those locks coming down the sides of their heads, you know, it's so creepy, really.
I still remember years ago reading this article about venomous reptiles and rattlesnakes in particular. And I read the article and it said, when a young rattlesnake comes out of its egg... And they snakes lay eggs, reptiles lay eggs.
Right.
When a young rattlesnake comes out of its egg, it has been out for 20 seconds, it is able to deliver to you a fatal venomous bite.
Right.
And I realized
this
is the Jew. Even a young Jew is a satanic rattlesnake.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know,
a viper, a
rattlesnake right out of its egg. Has fully developed venomous glands and can deliver a fatal bite.
Yeah.
And I realize this is the Jew. They, from the time they are born, They are little murderers. They are little liars.
Right.
They are little haters. They have a genetic hatred of our people.
Amen. Amen. That's biblical.
Either that or Genesis 3:15 is a lie. And Genesis 3:15, to me, is the verse to understand the entire scripture. And when I say scripture, I don't mean the 66 books of our Bible. But as you and I, over the years, have come to understand, you know, the books of Baruch and Ezra and Enoch in particular, and Jubilees and Jasher. And these were books kept out of our so-called Bible. And these were the books hidden for our people that contained outstanding, amazing racial truths that really break down that Yahweh chose a particular race on the earth, and it's the white race. I don't even like to use the term Caucasian. I am way past politically correct. If I say something that offends people, I realize I like that. If I talk and people aren't offended, I'm not doing my job.
There's something wrong, Especially if Jews aren't offended.
You know?
Right, right. Well, here, let's get back to this, because it says, originally, believers viewed contemporary Jews as descendants of those ancient Israelites who had never been lost. Okay, so, well, just differentiating between the 10 lost tribes and the two-tribed house of Judah. Okay, so British Israel people would assume that Jews are from the tribe or house of Judah. Okay.
We have learned more since.
Yes.
This,
we know better. We know better.
Yeah. I don't like to use the term evolved, but our knowledge has increased.
Yes, right.
As Daniel prophesied, the knowledge would increase in the final days.
Yes. By the 1930s, however, in the U.S., USA, by the way, the letters USA are in the middle of the word Jerusalem. Okay. That's another clue, folks. A strain of what they call anti-Semitism, but a strain of anti-Jewism, started to permeate the movement, though some maintained traditional beliefs. In other words, some Herbert W. Armstrong was British Israel, and I think even Howard B. Rand was British Israel in his early days, but he also understood, he came to realize that the Jews are not Israelites, okay?
And that's
he was a racial separatist.
As our knowledge increased, we begin to see more and more.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Taking hold in this country at a time when anti-Jewism was as well. Yeah, why? Why was anti-Jewism taking place in America? Because they were communists. The American people understood that if you scratch a communist, you smell a Jew. Okay.
Well, and we saw how beginning in the early 1900s, you know, the Jews were, migrating over here heavily in the mid to late 1800s. They were flooding. They realized this is the next great feeding ground.
That's
being
right.
Vampires that they were. Mm-hmm. They saw an opportunity. And it took them a while to gain the foothold here and to do their Jewish networking and get their tentacles into things and get a handle on the political situation. But, you know, as we know, once the 1900s began, and I mean, you can mark down the year 1913 as the year a knife was stuck into the heart of this country.
But the fangs of the viper sunk into the American people, right?
Brother, let me ask you a question. Can you name the three events that took place in the year 1913 that we have to this day never recovered from?
Yeah. Well, the Federal Reserve Bank, the 16th Amendment, the Income Tax Amendment.
Yes.
And, also the founding of the ADL. And
brother.
Go ahead.
I give you an A+.
All right. Thank you. All right. I know my history.
I knew you'd get those without even giving me hints.
Yeah, right?
In 1913, the federal event, the three things you just mentioned, the federal income tax.
Right.
The
Jewish income tax. Right.
The Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
And to subdue any criticism of Jews, the ADL was founded in 1913.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Jewish, triumph to get those three things. And our nation has never, ever, ever been the same since.
Has never recovered from that. Never.
And we can count World War I and World War II as repercussive, reactions to those events that took place in 1913. Because in 1913, when the Jews took a hold of the ability to create wealth to themselves in this nation, they basically became multi-billionaires and obviously to this day, trillionaires.
Right.
And the next level is quadrillionaires. Overnight, they became the wealthiest group in the United States with the stroke of a pen.
That's right. Yeah.
And we have never been the same since.
And it was Woodrow Wilson who stroked that pen.
Yeah.
Woodrow Wilson
sold us down the river.
That's right.
Woodrow, to the best estimate, was a white man that was either tricked or blackmailed or just who knows what they did to him.
He was definitely blackmailed. No
yeah.
Doubt about
he
that.
Didn't understand. And who could have understood the ramifications of it at that time?
Yeah, yeah.
Who could look 100 years ahead and see?
Right. Well, they promised no more inflationary depressions. Yeah. Of course.
It's for your own good.
Yeah.
You need us to control your money. It's a special gift that we have. Who knows what they said to
We're so smart with money. Yeah, right.
We already own the banks and this.
Yeah.
This is just the natural progression. Who knows what... Are they not the natural beguilers, the liars?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, just like they did to Eve. They've done it to virtually an entire race. To an entire race. But here, let's continue.
Okay.
That Christian identity taught that most Jews were not really descendants of ancient Israelites, but were instead descended from an Asiatic people known as the Khazars, who settled near the Black Sea during the Middle Ages. The European Ashkenazic Jews were thus false Israelites, who further obscured the fact that it was really white Europeans who were the true Israelites. One of the most influential British Israel advocates of this and other anti-Jewish ideas was William J. Cameron.
Yep.
He deserves applause. Editor of the Dearborn Independent, the weekly newspaper published by automobile magnate Henry Ford in the 1920s and Ford's press advisor until the 1940s. Under Cameron's leadership, the Independent popularized the infamous anti-Jew hoax, the Protocols of the Learned Enters of Zion. But, of course, they left out the word learned.
Wait, it was a hoax? I thought it was a forgery.
Right. Which is it? Get it right,
which is
ADL.
It, Jews?
Which is it? Right? Well, it's neither a hoax nor a forgery. Right?
What was the famous quote Henry Ford said? The more something like the more you look at it, the more it seems to be true. Yeah,
right.
I'm paraphrasing, but
well, yeah.
You know.
No, it fits history is what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, only the Jews had the power to pull this off. And they were doing it, basically what he said. You know, look what the Jews are doing. It's right there in the protocols, right? Okay.
And how they've come true over time.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, talk about prophecy fulfilled. Well, it was because it was a master plan. Let's see if we can get this, because he mentions E. Raymond Captain, Gerald L.K. Smith. The anti-Jewish strain of British Israelism was particularly strong on the west coast of Canada and the United States. The key figure in the transformation of British Israelism into what was increasingly called Christian identity was Wesley Swift, 1913. Oh, something good happened in 1913.
Yeah, Wesley Swift was born.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise
what
Yahweh.
What a brother.
Amen. What a brother.
I
never noticed that. He was born
I never
that
knew
year.
That either. Yeah. A former Methodist minister from... See, even Jews bring out interesting facts every now and then. A former Methodist minister from Southern California. In the 1940s, Swift started his own church, later known as Church of Jesus Christ Christian. He was active in extreme right-wing groups. There's no such thing as an extreme right-wing group.
I know. What term? Extreme right-wing groups. In other words, he saw some truth and acted upon it. Yes.
He believed in the Bible and the U.S. Constitution. I guess that's an extremist.
Had a little racial understanding.
Amen.
Yes.
Including the Ku Klux Klan. And developed a close friendship with the nation's most prominent post-war anti-Judaist, Gerald L.K. Smith. Because of the activities of Swift and associates such as Bertrand Comparé and San Jacinto Capt, Christian identity increasingly became linked with, here's that word extreme again. Okay, count the number of times you hear the word extreme in this document. Became linked with extreme right-wing ideologies.
Brother, okay. If you and I are not considered extreme, we're not doing our job.
Yeah, that's right. There's something wrong.
Not that we're extreme, but we should be considered extreme by the Jewish fake news, people that, run these websites. Of course, remind our listeners, we are reading off the ADL.org website of their their identification of Christian identity.
Right.
Their definition of us. So, that explains all this little interesting word use, terminology, the word extremist, anti-Semitism, extreme expression, etc.
Right.
They want to define who we are and what we believe.
That's right.
We will not allow it.
Right. Amen. Under a theology of hate, of course, there's nothing hateful about identity. It's so we love our brethren. We love our race. We love our God, Yahweh, and our Lord and Savior, Yeshua.
We're lovers.
The second paragraph, under a theology of hate, the core of the system, as with British Israelism, was that white Europeans were descended from the Israelite people of the Bible. This was their true identity. Volumes of identity writing is devoted to revealing this hidden history. Now, this is an interesting statement, because it's indeed true that there are volumes, thousands of titles demonstrating that we Caucasian whites are descended from the 12 tribes of Israel. There's actually a huge literature proving all of this, but it has been suppressed because the Jews control literature. Okay? And we're just beginning to unbury all of this buried literature. So anybody who wants to claim, such as so-called blacks who pretend to be Israelites, where's your literature?
Yeah.
Show me one book that proves the blacks descended from. Why are there only statues of white people coming from the Middle East from that era? There are no statues of black people, right? Unless they're marching along as slaves, right? It's interesting that they admit that there is voluminous literature that proves that we are Israel. Okay, so is all this stuff fiction? Like the Talmud is fiction? No, folks, it's accurate history. Accurate history.
Exactly, brother.
And there's
Amen.
An abundance of it. Back to you.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm bouncing back and forth in the chat room, and we're discussing hatred. And there is indeed a Yahweh-inspired, righteous hatred for a particular group of people. And it's not really hatred so much as it is the just true, righteous understanding of who this group is on the earth. And we are allowed to
righteous
hate them.
Righteous indignation, yes.
And hating them is actually a requirement because their judgment is already foreordained. And the heavens will rejoice when this group is thrown into the lake of fire. We will rejoice. We'll have a massive party. I'm convinced alcohol will be involved.
Yes.
I'm just saying. I think there will be. Yahshua Christ created the real wine in John chapter 2, by the way. When I went to Bible college, they taught me it was grape juice. And I'm looking at it. I'm going, oh, professor, it kind of looks like, it looks like wine to me.
Yeah,
he goes, no, Jesus
like
would never... Jesus would never create alcohol. This is hardcore fundamental Baptist.
Right, yeah. What happened
to Cana?
I'm looking
at it and I'm going, I'd say what you want. It looks like he made good wine to me.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Now I realize it was the best wine on the planet ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
All right, brother Greg. Fun show tonight. And we didn't talk much theology, but we talked race and the love of our brethren.
Race is theology.
That's right.
This is an interesting document to work through because it opens up a lot of avenues for discussion.
Oh, yeah.
It allows us to chase a few rabbit trails.
Mm-hmm.
And our people need encouragement and knowledge. And, brother, thank you for having me on this show. Yeah. I consider it a great privilege, and love you.
I love you too, brother. Take care.
Yahweh
Thanks.
Bless.
All right. Yahweh bless. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you next time.